Looking at y'all, trying to figure y'all out. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what Elizabeth Taylor told her fifth husband. I won't keep you long, amen. So I know we've got a meal. I know we got a lot of things to do. Got another missionary tonight coming. So I promise I won't keep you all day. It is an honor to be here. Appreciate my wife Betsy being with me. Appreciate the open door to come. As Pastor said, October will mark 19 years. I've been a missionary with Rock of Ages. First 9 years, we traveled all over the world. I worked on the international team, traveled to about 9 different countries, worked all up and down the East Coast doing mostly revival, evangelistic work. The last 9 years, we've been working as a missionary chaplain at the Northeast Correctional Complex in Mountain City, Tennessee. If you're not familiar with that area of the state, we're as far northeast as you can get. We're about an hour east of Johnson City. We are at a corner where North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia all connect. We actually have people that work at the prison that are from all three states. The prison sits out on Highway 67 West on a 55-acre piece of property. We've got 1,800 adult male offenders, over 600 employees. So we've got a pretty big crowd that we're trying to minister to there. How many of you know and believe that when God opens a door, He just doesn't crack it? Amen. When God opens the door, He swings it wide open. Although I'm a missionary, I do not work for the Department of Corrections. I don't draw a salary from the Department of Corrections. I am a church-supported missionary. They gave me an office. They give me a staff ID badge. I've got a set of keys, a computer, a telephone. And man, I've got liberty to move around, witness. We do services. We do Bible studies, we do discipleship. I wrote a couple things down. I'm getting to that age where I have to write things down. And some of you may wonder, what do I do as a chaplain? Let me just tell you some things that happened just last week. I was visiting down, and we used to have maximum security inmates, and they all got shipped to prisons in West Tennessee, and they converted that area of the prison to what they call the SMU Security Management Unit. Each unit has 24 cells, 12 on top, 12 on the bottom. I went in there just doing some door-to-door visitation, knocking on doors, witnessing to those guys. Got to the third door, and the young man was asleep. And I've learned you better just let them sleep, say amen right there. It's not good to wake them up and then try to tell them about Jesus. Can I get a witness there? So he was asleep. I just went on, got done visiting the other units, got ready to leave. And that young man had woke up and said, "Hey, chaplain." I said, "Yes, sir." So I went back to talk to him. He said, "You got something I can read." Man, I loaded him down with material, and I asked him, I said, "Young man, do you have a Bible?" He said, "I don't." I said, "I'll get you one." I said, "I want to ask you another question. Are you saved? Have you ever been born again?" He said, "Never been saved." This was my next question. I said, "Have you ever had anybody to take the Bible and show you how you can know that you're saved, your sins are forgiven?" He said, "I never have." Young man, grown up in Tennessee, is anybody awake? We're not talking about North Korea. We're not talking about some remote jungle in South America. Talk about Tennessee. Never heard a gospel presentation. And Pastor, I had some John and Romans. I slid him a John and Romans under his door. I took a John and Romans in my hand and a little window there about yay big. And showed him the plan of salvation. I said, "Young man, what would stop you right now from getting on your knees by your bunk and asking Christ to come into your heart?" I said, "Are you sick and tired of your sin?" He said, "Oh yeah." I said, "I got another question for you. Are you sick and tired of yourself?" He said, "Preacher, I'm sick and tired of my sin, and I'm sick and tired of myself." Oh boy, prayed, amen, got born again. And you know, his last name was Snow, amen. And glory to God, Mr. Snow got washed whiter than snow, amen. And went back the next day, took him a nice study Bible, and going to get him, try to get him involved in some Bible studies and things, and some discipleship there. Got a call from the medical unit, went down there. We got like a small hospital there to prison. Got down there, the young man had requested to see a chaplain. He was on suicide watch. Last weekend, Pastor, his mother and 9-year-old son were on their way to Gatlinburg, and both of them were killed in a car wreck. And this young man had attempted to take his life. They had him on suicide watch. He said he had been saved. years before, had a good testimony that he had been saved, but just got blindsided with the death of his mother, and his son was able to minister to him, was able to take him a Bible, spend some time with him. Discipleship class last Thursday, had two men come up to me wanting gospel tracts, burdened about reaching the other men there in their unit. One of them asked me for a book on apologetics. I said, would you get offended if I got you a used one? He said, I'd take anything. Thank God for eBay. Can I get a witness? Amen. Got him a book on apologetics. Man, he was so tickled with that. Just thank God. I had another inmate there in our Monday night service. He said, preacher, can you help me out? Can you get on the internet? Give me some information about writing a thesis. This guy's either working on his master's degree or doctorate. I can't remember which one he's working on. In prison, studying the Word of God, got to write a thesis. Was asking me information, if I could get him some information about writing a thesis. Another guy, just going through some things here. Another guy down in our protected custody unit struggling. I said, if you'll handwrite 1 John on some notebook paper 2 times, I'll get you a Strong's Concordance. Amen. And I tell you what, he was tickled to death with his Strong's Concordance, but I tell you what did him more good was getting the Word of God in his heart. Amen. And we do a marriage conference. I was telling the pastor a little bit about that. We do some meals at Christmas time. Me and my wife have done New Testament outreaches, given New Testament to the staff there. We did a crusade for the staff. And last year did a 2-night crusade trying to pull some of the staff in. So we have got a tremendous open door. God's been awful good to us. I will say this, we do need the prayers of God's people. Do have some new prayer cards. Be sure to go by, put this up on your refrigerator. Pray for us every time you think about us. It's a good open door, but buddy, I tell you, the devil's at work. Amen. How many of y'all ever been down to Bojangles or Hardee's? And you hear Bubba and Leroy talking on Saturday morning down at Hardee's, and old Bubba looks over at Leroy and says, I tell you what, these prisons we got in America, they're like the Holiday Inn. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't know what kind of Holiday Inn Bubba and Leroy's been staying in, but Northeast Correctional is nothing like the Holiday Inn. It's dark. It stinks. Spiritually and physically. 1,800 men, that's 3,600 armpits, right? That's 1,800 cases of bat. It stinks, amen. 2 men cells. You wonder what that's like being in prison? Imagine being locked in your bathroom with another human being, amen. It's dark spiritually, but I'm glad the Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And let me just go ahead and clear this up, Pastor. I promise I won't keep it on, but I believe I need to say this. I realize this can be kind of controversial. I'm not on a crusade to shut down the world's prisons. Do your little head like this. Y'all awake this morning? Y'all smelling that food back there has got y'all messed up, ain't it? Hello? I'm not a bleeding heart liberal. I'm a firm believer. If you do the crime, you ought to do the time. And I'm not being mean or ugly. Those guys are not in there for skipping choir practice. There are some guys in there, I thank God they are not my next door neighbor. Hello? I'm not a bleeding heart liberal trying to shut down the prisons of the world. But let me say this. When Jesus Christ was dying on that cross 2,000 years ago, he just wasn't dying for our sins. He was dying for their sins. Amen? And I'm firm belief, you do the crime, y'all do the time. But praise God, their sins was paid for just like my sins were paid for. And I'll tell you something else that'll scare you. Most of them's getting out. Some of them's going to Chattanooga. Some of them's going to Memphis. Fast your seatbelt. Some of them's coming to Powell. And I don't know about you, but if I had an ex-inmate getting out of prison, I'd want to know he's been born again. Amen. So keep us in your prayers as we labor there. Again, God's been awful good to us. Give us a tremendous open door. Again, we're going to stay and eat. I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have. Pastor wanted me to say something about support. Let me say this. I've been doing this about 19 years. Your support base is like a body. Every day in your body, cells die, amen, and then cells come alive. You know, when you've been doing this like I have for almost 19 years, churches drop you, amen. A lot of our churches are dying. I get letters in the mail, preacher, we don't have the money anymore. Our membership's dropping. So I'm not in a church like this every Sunday. I'm not constantly out here raising support. But you do have to make up for those that you lost. Amen. I say we're probably around 95% of where we need to be. But again, you're constantly losing and you're constantly having to pick back up. Amen. That's where we're at on our support. And again, I don't have anything to hide. If you want to talk to me after service, we'll be glad to discuss that. And I'll answer any questions you may have. Amen. You got your place in Luke 16 this morning. Amen. Is everybody there? All right. You glad you saved? Who's hungry? Who wants to go eat now and skip preaching? No, I'm just kidding. Amen. All right, let's stand our feet. Luke 16. Y'all must like preaching. You got a little nervous when I said that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Luke 16, let's look at verse number 27. Familiar text. We all know the story of the rich man. That Jesus talked about, died and went to hell. Luke 16, verse number 27, we pick up the story. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, for if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Dear Pastor, would you pray God just put his touch on his word this morning?
Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to have you in my house. Lord, I pray this morning, you can hold up and down these aisles, Holy Spirit of God, and you can anoint this place. Lord, thou, Holy Spirit, thou art invited.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen. You be seated this morning. Again, we're all, if you've been saved for any length of time, you know that familiar with this text, but the rich man in Luke 16 had something that sadly most fundamental Baptists will never possess. And that is a heartfelt, life-changing, prayer-enhancing, tear-shedding burden for missions. I'm going to say that again. The rich man is in Luke 16, he didn't have a whole lot, but he did have one thing that a lot of Baptists will never experience, and that is a life-changing, heart-changing, prayer-changing, tear-shedding burden for missions. And as I look at this text, there's three things that indicate that this man truly had a genuine concern for missions and getting the gospel into the hearts and ears of those that are lost. First thing what you see in verse number 27, we see his supplication. Look at what he says right here. Then he said, I what? Pray. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Boy, going back to the text and looking at the character of this man, the wealth of this man, the power and the affluence of this man, I dare say this was probably the first prayer that he ever prayed. But he was praying to Abraham, said, God, Abraham, would you send somebody to go tell my family about the Lord? And can I tell you something, folks? I'm all for missions conferences. I'm all for faith promise conferences. I'm all for meetings to get people stirred up. But I tell you straight up right now, we'll never reach this world with the gospel without the power of prayer. Amen. Let me say this right here. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray. What did Jesus do? He says, pray. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I know some of y'all are probably trying to figure me out. I'm trying to figure y'all out. But my daughter gave me a complex years ago. She said, "Daddy, you look mean when you preach." And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I'm a mean person. Amen. I didn't come all the way to Knoxville, Tennessee to grind an axe. I didn't come over here to fuss at y'all. I didn't come here to make a spectacle and be mean. But I do want to ask you a question. I wonder how many people, here we are in the middle of 2018. We're already in the middle of another year. And I wonder how many of you this year, 2018, have spent some serious time praying that God would raise up an army to crisscross this world with the gospel. Amen. Hello? What about North Korea? What about these unreached people? What about Tennessee? Amen. What about our own nation? Pastor Dunn talked about out west. Amen. How much prayer has gone up from this congregation? Amen. To intercede that God would raise up an army of missionaries to reach this world with the gospel. And let me say this, folk, bare minimum, and the pastor done told me y'all are a busy church. Y'all stay busy and y'all got outreach and bus ministry and van ministry and things going on. Bare minimum, you at least ought to be praying for your replacement. Amen. Hello. Elijah had an Elisha. Paul had a Timothy. And can I tell you something? I'll be 51 years old in a couple months. That's not the end of the world, but you can see it from here. Amen. Hello. I definitely got more years behind me than I do in front of me. Somebody say amen. And I already tell you right now, there's going to come a day that I can't walk those prison walkways. There's going to come a day when I can't carry the load that I carry. And bare minimum, folk, we need to be praying for some replacements. Amen. We got quite a few chaplains with Rock of Ages. I'm 51 years old, but preacher, I'm the youngest one. Huh? A lot of our chaplains are getting older. A lot of them, their health is failing. Amen. God help us to be much in prayer that He would raise up an army in these last days to take the gospel to the four corners of the earth. Amen. Then not only His supplication, but number two, the second thing that I see that indicates He had a burden for missions was His sensitivity. Look what He says right here in verse number 28. He says, "For I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Guarantee you, it's the first time in his life he thought about the soul of somebody else. Amen. Can I ask you a question? How many of y'all are aware everybody you come in contact is either going to heaven or hell? Amen. I was at the gas station yesterday. Guy pulled up, handed him a gospel tract. Amen. Hello. I noticed your pastor yesterday when we got done eating, he got two things out. He got out his credit card and he got out a gospel tract. Say, how come he did that? Because here's a man that understands that little old waitress, although she was just there to serve our food, when she dies, she's going somewhere. Amen. Me and my wife was leaving today. I don't know if there's a baseball tournament or something going on around here, but the Ohio baseball team. What was there in our motel, and we got up this morning, and a young man got on our elevator, and had a baseball cap, getting ready to go play ball today. I said, "Hey, what position you play?" He said, "I play pitcher." I said, "I bet you're going to want to go professional." He said, "I hope to." Got a gospel tract. I said, "Let me give you something to read here." I said, "Brother Russell, why you do that?" That young man's going to go into eternity somewhere. Amen. And every person you come in contact with, and he was a man who finally got sensitive to the needs of others. Amen. And then let me give you this. The third thing right here, not only his supplication, his sensitivity, but thirdly, his sacrifice. Look at verse number 27. "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house." Now, I want to tell you what old Charlie Russell would have done. Hello? If that would have been me, you know what I'd have said? I'd have said, "Lord, if you let me out of hell for a couple weeks, get me out of this heat." Right? If you let me out of hell for a while, get me out of this torment, give me a break from this pain and suffering I'm in, I'll go do some preaching for you. But you know what? Preacher jumped out at me. He was the guy, he was over all that. He was over himself. His days of being self-centered was over. His days of being self-consumed. And he said, Lord, if I have to spend all eternity in hell, for heaven's sakes, just send somebody. Amen. He had a sensitive spirit, and he also had a sacrificial spirit. Amen. Tremendous what this man got. But sad to say, folks, let me say this. He got his burden too late. I mean, I believe he had a burden. I see a burden. Man, he's praying. He's sensitive. He's willing to sacrifice. But the problem with this man right here, he got his burden too late. And folks, you understand, Jesus said, the night's coming when no man can work. You realize it's going to be late it's going to be too late one day to have a mission Sunday. It's going to be too late one day to have a missions conference. It's going to be too late one day to give to missions and get involved in visitation, get involved in the bus. There's going to be a day when it's too late. And sadly for this man right here, he got his burden too late. Amen? Now let me give you a couple things right here and we'll be done. The question arises, what caused this man not to get a real heartfelt burden until it was too late? What happened in his earthly life that he didn't get a hold of this before he stepped out into eternity? Let me give you a couple things right here. First of all, let me say this. He had an obsession with luxury. An obsession with luxury. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now let me ask you a question. Are y'all still awake? Amen? Hello? Breaker 1-9, anybody out there? Y'all still awake? Now let me ask you a question. In and of itself, is it wrong to have a big house? In and of itself, is it wrong to drive a Mercedes-Benz? In and of itself, is it wrong to have a couple $1 million in the bank? In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with these things. But I tell you what I've learned, and I tell you what I've observed. When you get obsessed with living a life of luxury and a life of comfort, it makes you self-centered. And you might as well say, man, we live in a country that is obsessed with being comfortable. Amen. I used to help my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law used to own a heating and air business. It amazed me. Man, somebody would call and say, hey, my heat pump's broke. We'd say, hey, we'll be there in an hour. They said, never mind, we'll call somebody else. People can't even wait an hour to get their air conditioning fixed. Amen. We are upset. You know, they said back in 2008, we had a bad recession. Y'all remember that 10 years ago, 2008? We had a bad recession. You know what was funny? Here we are, 2008. I still remember what they said, one of the worst recessions we ever had. Buddy, you could drive by Cracker Barrel on Friday night. They're lined out the door. Go by Ruby Tuesday. They're lined out the door. Go by Olive Garden. They're lined out the door. And while they're waiting, they're sitting in their $40,000 SUV talking on a $600 cell phone. And they call that a recession. Amen. We are spoiled in this country. We're spoiled. We are obsessed with luxury. We're obsessed with our own personal comfort. And the problem with that is it has made us self-centered. Amen. And I believe what happened to this guy was his obsession with luxury made him self-centered. And he never could get a hold of the fact that outside the four walls of his home, there were people that needed Christ. Brother Russell, are you preaching against having a nice car? Absolutely not. Are you preaching against having a nice house? Absolutely not. Are you preaching against having a heat pump? Absolutely not. But I tell you what, do not, praise God, especially in the summertime, say amen right there. Praise the Lord. My brother-in-law was a heat and air man. Y'all are going to laugh at this. But my brother-in-law hooked me up. We used to live in a 14 by 56 single wide. But praise God, we had a train heat pump. Hallelujah. Son, that thing was big enough. It could have cooled the Biltmore house. Amen. Had a little 14 by 56 mobile home. Had a big old heat pump on the outside. Amen. I'm for it. Nothing wrong with those things. But do not allow your obsessed self to get so obsessed with comfort and luxury that you lose sight of a world that needs Christ. Amen. Then another thing here. Let me give you this. Not only his obsession with luxury, but let me give you this. He had his offering to the less fortunate. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says right here, in desiring to be fed with the what? Crumbs, which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, before we crucify the rich man too bad, he did give. Right? He did give. But sad to say, all he gave was crumbs. Amen? God help us. I said, God help us. Pastor gets up, pastor gets up and says, hey! Got a missionary here going to Alaska and he needs some Bibles. Hold on, preacher. I think I got a dollar. Got a missionary here going to Australia. He needs some plane tickets. Hold on, preacher. I think I got a quarter. Amen. I don't know if y'all knew this or not, but when money gets old, our dollar bills and our money gets old, it's put together and it's trucked, I think, to Colorado where they have a big incinerator. And they take all the old, wore-out money out in Colorado and they burn it. Well, one day at the incinerator, $100 bill, $50 bill, and the $1 bill were talking. $100 bill said, man, I've had a great life. I know I'm getting ready to get burned up, but I can't complain. Man, I've had a good life. I've been carried by businessmen. I've been used to buy houses. I've had a great life. $50 bill said, man, I've had a great life too. I've been given his birthday presents, anniversary presents. I've been used to buy meals. I've been used to business transactions. I've had a great life. Dollar bill said, man, I've had a great life too. I spent my whole life in church. Amen. Hello. God help us to get above and beyond crumbs. Amen. Hello. Look at his offering. It was just crumbs. And again, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Somebody told me that Ford has a truck out or is coming out that fully loaded, this truck is over $100,000. Is there anything wrong with having a $100,000 truck? Absolutely not. But I'll say this, I'd hate to stand before God, had a $1,500 a month truck payment and given $5 a month to missions. That'd be a little embarrassing. Hello? Right? Look at the offering. He just gave crumbs. And God help us to get above and beyond crumbs. And then let me give you this right here and we'll be done this morning. What kept him from getting this burden, his obsession with luxury, his offering to the less fortunate? And then thirdly, let me say this, his oversight of the laid. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. You know the thing about this rich man? He didn't even have to go to the mission field. He didn't have to leave the comfort of his own property. Opportunity was laid right at his feet. Amen? Man, I think about all the opportunity that's been laid at our feet. Just like yesterday. You know, we're at a restaurant. Here comes a young lady. But you know what that young lady also was? She was not only our waitress, she was an opportunity. That young man that got in that elevator this morning, yeah, he was a ball player. But you know what else he was? He was an opportunity. Amen? And I think about all the opportunities we've got to witness for Christ. Amen? All over Tennessee. Amen? We got missionaries here that we could get involved in their ministry. Hello? Right? We didn't have to go chase them down. They come to us this morning. Opportunities laid right at our feet. What about the internet? Amen? I'm going to tell you something right now, preacher. If they'd had YouTube when I was a young preacher, I'd be in prison right now. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'd have been there all the time preaching. What about Facebook? I know there's a lot of nonsense and a lot of leave. What about getting... I wonder how many people that are your friends on Facebook that are not saved. Boy, you get on there and type out some Bible. There are opportunities laid at our feet every single day. Right? Opportunities to get involved. But sad to say, many times, they go right over our head. Amen? He missed the opportunities that were laid. And then let me give you this, and we'll close. Folk, let me tell you something. Don't wait too late to get a burden for missions. I got to be real careful right here. There's a word that I hear in our Baptist churches quite often, and it borderline rubs me wrong, and I got to be real careful, and that's the word excited. Well, I'm excited, preacher. I'm excited about church. I'm excited about soul winning. You know why that bothers me? Because excitement wears off. Amen? You can get over excitement. Hello? I tell you what. Can I tell you about excitement? Y'all got just a couple more minutes. Can I tell you about excitement? You can leave out of here tonight on cloud nine. Excited about serving the Lord. And on your way to work tomorrow, somebody pull out in front of you and there's your excitement. It's gone. You're done thinking bad thoughts. You're done reaching for your 9mm. You done forgot all about church. You done forgot all about the preacher. You done forgot all about Jesus. That's the way excitement is. It comes and it goes. And it really, and I've got to be real careful, it really rubs me wrong sometimes when you hear that word in church. But I tell you what will get the job done. Not excitement, but a burden. Amen? You ever get that burden for those that are lost? That's what will help you to make a difference. Amen? Put yourself in this position. What if you'd have been born in North Korea instead of the United States? Why were you born here? Why weren't you born over there? Amen? Right? I've asked myself this question. Why am I not in a cell? Why am I the chaplain? Amen? You know what that's called? That's called compassion. Being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. If you don't have a burden, pray that God will give you one. Because I'm going to tell you something. The day's coming. The night's coming. When none of us will be able to work. And I'll go ahead and share this with you. If Jesus doesn't come, and if we don't have a revival, Pastor, there's going to be a day when that prison is going to look at me and say, you can't bring that King James Bible in here no more. That's hate literature. Right? Things are not getting better, folks. Things are getting worse. And if you don't have a burden, pray that God will give you one. Amen? Before it's eternally too late. Well, praise the Lord. Let's all stand there.